sugar and spice. I feel nice, like sugar and spice.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to the Mel and Floyd Summer Replacement Show. I'm Mel. Floyd is on assignment, but with us as always, Mr. Smarty Pants.
Howdy.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. You know, I love it when Esty calls us the funny boys because it's so aspirational. Like, there's going to be days when she's just going to say, and now the boys. And at that point, we might as well just pack it in. You know what I mean? It's like, we're still the funny boys. That's good. I'm glad to know that.
But funny's in quotes. Yeah. You can hear that.
You can hear the quotes.
You can hear the quotes.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not, my irony detector is not working today.
So anyway, well, hi, it's good to see you.
Yeah, it's good to see you. It's been like weeks.
It's been a month or so.
Yeah, it's been about a month.
You were gone a couple weeks. I was gone last week. Yep. And so.
It was real, you know, I got to tell you, it was interesting last week. It was real girl power because it was like we had, of course, we had Melvina here, your spawn, and that was fun. And then Gladys dropped in. And then it was just like, I guess it was just the energy or something. And then Susan came in, Pledge Drive coordinator, and then Sybil came in, our music coordinator, and it was just kind of like, come on, bring it on, you know, so it was kind of nice. It was fun.
Girl power.
It was. It definitely was.
Very good.
Yeah, that was fun.
Good.
But I'm glad you're back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was up by the lake they call Gichigumi.
So, oh. Yeah. By the Big Sea Waters?
Yes.
All right. Very good. Well, I'm getting back used to being not in Europe, so that's good.
Yeah.
I love Madison.
Did you quit smoking since you got back?
I had to stop the minute I got back. No, I love Madison, except we do have our own version of what it's like to be in a place like Paris. Yesterday, I was going to get together with some friends, someone I hadn't seen in a while. There's about four of us were all going to get together. And we thought, oh, let's go to Cooper's Tavern. You know, it's a little place. It's nice. Yeah. It's on the square.
Right.
Outdoor dining. You know, a lot of my friends still a little worried about COVID, you know. And so it's like, well, let's dine outdoors.
Unlike the CDC.
Yeah. Unlike the CDC. Yeah, exactly. Whatever.
We give up.
You know? You see a sandwich dropped in the street? Just eat it. You know? It's like, what could go wrong?
It's like when your parents get sick of yelling at you and they go, okay, fine. You go ahead.
Get it pierced.
I don't care.
I don't care anymore. Yes. Pierce everything. So
pierce your head for all.
But we show up there. We made this like careful plan, and we show up, and it's a madhouse because of course. When you live in Madison, it is in its own small way like living in Paris. It's a giant theme park. and you know, there was a million people.
Yeah.
And
I like the giant Doug LaFollette heads there, like, you know, the kind of Disney type.
Well, that's what we were talking about. Yeah, it's like it was going to be superannuated grad student was going to be wearing, and then radical lesbian, and we were going to walking down the street with our big heads, and people would take pictures with us, you know.
Sure, so, sure.
I was in Madison, you know. So, but there were two things. There was a night market going on, so all of the Upper State Street was filled, and then it was Hamilton, and I was I was venting. I actually in a friendly way, but I'm not sure everybody felt like it was friendly. And a woman said, "It's also Hamilton." Like random complaining dude, and I was like, "Oh, thanks. I didn't realize that." So that was also a lot of people were in to see Hamilton from the surrounding countryside.
I'm hearing more and more about him.
He's a doer, that guy is. That's what I've heard.
Have him on here someday.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Have a debate with him and Aaron Burr.
Yeah, that would be, I know how that one ends. You know, it's funny. I like the Jefferson Hamilton debates, you know, about how the government should be. They were interesting, but if you really want the two sides of American history. Read the letters that Adams and Jefferson wrote to each other. Yeah. Those are fascinating.
Yeah, yeah. The word poopy head shows up a lot.
It does. So yeah, they're really different views.
Yeah.
And even though Adams was the more conservative for the times, the titles and the meanings are so different from what they are today.
Yeah.
He was very clear that there would always be class warfare. And he saw that going into the future. And Jefferson was this very naive, of course, being a rich guy.
Yeah.
You know, Adam's dad was a farmer.
A rich guy who didn't pay his debts.
Yeah. Adam's dad was a farmer. And Jefferson's dad was a super farmer with lots of unpaid labor. So, you know, he was like, everything will work itself out. Yeah, I guess. You know. But that's I would encourage people to read that. It's really fascinating stuff.
Yeah, I prefer the economic theories of Cat Turd 6969 on Twitter. I think they've got a lot to say about that.
Yeah, but, sure they do. right up there with John Adams and Thomas Jefferson, I'm sure, in their level of eloquence.
When I was up north last week, it was right before the primaries. So there were a lot of campaign signs out,
sure. You
know, lawn signs and things.
Yep.
And there was somebody named John Adams running up there for something.
Yeah.
So I hope, you know.
Well, I don't know if you heard, but it was very close. But it turns out that Aaron Richardson... he's the Democratic nominee now for state treasurer, and he's going to face Republican attorney John Lieber in the November election. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing that I really kind of freaked me out.
Who thinks we should go back to pelts?
Yeah. As far as, you know. Well, he's first of all, there's two things that freaked me out. One is this guy, Aaron Richardson, he's the mayor of Fitchburg.
Oh,
yeah, I know.
Oh, come on.
So it's like saying I'm the, you know, the, I don't know, I'm the
mayor
the of, dean of Candyland or something.
Mayor McCheese.
Yeah, exactly. But here's the thing that's really scary. I really would encourage people to vote in this election because one of the things, and this is a fascinating, I found out about this a few years ago, there's something called the Board of Commissioners of Public Lands.
Mm-hmm, sure.
And the constitutional officers form that board, and it manages $1.4 billion in state trust funds that provides money for educational needs. You don't want a Republican anywhere near that. We're going to be investing in Amway. No, I'm sorry. But anyway, vote for whomever you wish. But I'm just saying, I kind of worry about $1.4 billion hanging around.
Shortly after Scott Walker and all those people got elected in 2010, and so early in 2011, there was, I forget who it was, some state legislator. Notice the state employee trust fund, the thing that pays the pensions
for
all the retired state and I assume UW people too.
Yep.
And there's like a couple billion dollars in there or something. And this legislator said that money's just sitting there doing nothing.
Yeah, so I know.
Look at all that money sitting there.
That's your mind at work there. Yeah. That's your capitalist mind at work.
Remember when W wanted to put out like the $2 trillion from the Social Security into the stock market.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, remember Governor Taft of Ohio invested it all in gold coins? That was a smooth move. Like, can only go up in value. No, they're constantly
into Bitcoin.
They're
today.
Constantly scanning this. Like, it's like someone with a divining rod, and they're constantly scanning. Oh, there's some money over there. Yeah. Ooh, prisons, we could monetize that. Ooh, schools, we could monetize that.
Well, with the various types of investments. I mean, those are big piles of money, and if they start moving those around, people are going to get some of the crumbs off that.
Yeah.
Get the, you know, be able to siphon off fees and things like
sure,
that.
Sure. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That's what they really have their eye on.
Yep. You bet. So when you were gone last week, did you pay any attention to what was going on in the world, or did you?
Not too much.
I did. When we were gone, I didn't do very much either.
Yeah.
There were two glorious weeks of never checking the news.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nice to be in that bubble, but you also feel slightly like, okay, I'm not really, not paying attention does not help either, you know.
Right. Yeah. I always go back and forth. Uh-oh.
Oh, thank you so much.
Esty
brought us apples.
Poison apple here. So.
They're not poisonous, Mel. They just make us slightly nauseous.
So my trees, they're absolutely organic. So
yeah.
They may have some blemishes.
Oh, that's fine. I love blemishes. I'm
blemishes
perfectly fine
too,
with that. Yes, we do. Indeed, we do.
Thank you, Esty.
Thank
give
you
us
so
some
much.
Nice little apples here. Thank you.
That was sweet.
Yeah, I mean, look inward too much, but I mean, one of the drawbacks of doing this show is I feel like I can't check out.
Yeah, I know.
You know, on a regular week. I mean, I can for a few days, but I always feel like at least by Friday I should look and see what's oh, we're selling nuclear secrets now.
So okay, so here's my theory about this. You know, investment opportunity, ka-ching. He's keeping that stuff down in Florida so he can sell the information to the Saudis.
Yeah,
you know that's
exactly.
Who it is.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think it's a coincidence they did this big money golf tour at his one of his places a couple of weeks ago.
And think about the geopolitical structure here. They are in competition with the Iranians, right? I mean, that's the other branch of Islam. They're our hated foes, and they want to have it, and they want to make sure that they're... I mean, Israel has had a secret nuclear program, quote unquote secret nuclear program for years. I mean, they why not us? Yeah. Come on, we're great. We got a lot of money. Yeah. So that's exactly who they're going to sell it.
I mean, it hasn't been a secret. I mean, Flynn guy was pushing
Flynn,
for it.
Yes.
I mean, they had their fingers, their hands slapped over some of those things 2 or 3 years ago.
Every single thing that he does is for money.
It's very transparent.
Yeah. So, I mean. And it's just like... That's it. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's like, it's so stunningly simplistic that it fools people.
Right.
It's like this whole thing about how he lies continuously. It's like, oh my God, he must believe X. No, he's lying again. Yeah. You know, it's like, what do you not get about that? It's really simple to figure out. He just lies about everything, you know? He doesn't believe this stuff.
When you're saying the FBI planted these things, okay, first of all, you're saying, okay, there was something incriminating there.
Yeah, something really bad.
That I didn't have. They planted it on me.
Yeah, it's like
every low-level drug dealer uses that excuse.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes they do get
planted. And the thing is, his supporters now are, I mean, the kind of stuff that they're saying. So one, this guy, Steven Crowder, so he's this big conservative commentator. He's like 2 million Twitter followers. And he said, "Tomorrow is war," and there was another pundit. This means war. This period means period war period. I mean, they're all talking about, you know, Bannon has his war room now. Violent language. I mean, just using this violent language and FBI tyranny again. It's like the gangs. Like, oh my God, you know, the John Law is coming down on us. You know.
Well, there were stories that Trump was saying things like, you know, somebody's a rat here and somebody's wearing a wire.
Who's the stoolie?
It's like he's Jimmy Cagney or something.
Right. Oh, man.
But the thing is, you don't need a rat. You don't need somebody wearing a wire because everybody runs their mouth and there's no security at and it's a little golf resort with an omelet bar.
What's in there? Oh, 15 boxes of secret documents. Oh, okay.
Well, I mean, one of the they had several comments about how this wasn't so bad, and it's like, oh, why did they do this? Oh, poor me. And it's like, well, one time they asked us to put a lock on the door, and we did that, and that was like, what, you had all this stuff sitting in a room without a lock on? First of all, why do you have it in the first place?
Well, the thing that I loved was Garland, the Attorney General Merrick Garland. You know, Trump was like, oh, blah, 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 you know, the whiny, the typical whiny Trump. And he said, look, you know, you can release this information about what's going on anytime you want. You can release the list. You can release the subpoena. You can release the warrant. You know all this stuff. Yeah. And Trump doesn't do it, of course, because, of course, it's all incriminating. Again, he just lies.
But what he does is then he starts demanding that Garland release that.
Yeah.
Release the, you know, this information. Yeah. Release the warrant. It's like, well, you could do that if you want.
Yeah. I mean,
I mean, this is quite a line to cross, though, for the supporters to go to the mat for this kind of behavior. I mean, you know, and to kind of say, well, you know, what about Hillary or what about Obama? It's like, no, that has nothing to do with it. It's like, this is pretty bad
stuff. My guess is he'll end up in prison and he'll write a really good book, something like, I don't know, maybe My Struggle or something like that.
my pillow. He'll probably have a really nice pillow in prison. No, he's not going to prison.
You don't think so?
I don't. I mean, I'm very cynical about this. I hate to say it, but I think they'll tell him not to do it again or something.
I mean, the thing is, his mob spooks everybody. I mean, this is what the Republicans have been doing for at least 40 years.
Yeah.
And every time you say, well, this is wrong, they're like, oh, well, you know, look out or something bad will happen to you.
Yeah,
you
wait till we get in charge.
Yeah.
And then we're going to, I mean, they were literally saying, you know, well, when we get in charge, we're going to raid Biden's house.
It's For what?
That's not the point. That you
by saying that, they then imply a false equivalency.
Yeah.
Because then, of course, they're saying, well, there is something there that you're going to find, which is probably false.
Hunter Biden's laptop. It's got to be somewhere. Yeah. It's like, yeah. That's the really disturbing thing is how many people will back up this kind of behavior. I mean, this should be an automatic. It's like, oh my God, no, don't do that. That's wrong.
Yeah.
And no matter what, you know, if you have a D or an R after your name, I mean, it's wrong. And
I don't think we're in that place anymore.
It's like sports. It's like, you know, you're a Bears fan and you're a Packer fan.
Well, that's why people are using words like, you know, phrases like civil war. Because if you have a bunch of rules to structure the competition, it's a game. And if you don't, it's a war, right? Of all against all. So that's where we are.
Yeah.
Whatever's you know helps my side, that's the good thing, and whatever helps your side, even if it's identical, that's the bad thing.
Right. Yeah. Well, it was like, you know, Trump had his deposition this week, and he took the fifth like 440 times, and then of course somebody found some video from like 2 years ago, with him saying, why are these people taking the fifth? Boy, what do you got to hide here? If you take the fifth, you must be guilty.
And, yeah. Well, yeah. I think he's right on that one. I don't know if you heard about this, but the FBI also seized a phone of a representative named Scott Perry. Have you heard about this?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was this week. It's the third major action they've taken in this federal investigation into... this is not now... This is like, which thing are we talking about? This one has to do with the overturning the election thing. Okay, this is not the... You know, selling secrets to the Saudis thing or whatever it is.
Wow.
So this is another thing. So this is an inquiry that began last year in the Inspector General's office. And so they were acting on search warrants from the Inspector General's office. So they seized the phones and other electronic devices from from Jeffrey Clark. This was an aide of a former department official in the Justice Department that Trump wanted to put in, remember, as the head of the agency. And then you remember John Eastman, they've also gotten, he's an outside lawyer. He was the one that came up with the crazy plan for how this was all going to come down when the vice president was going to challenge and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So they did this then just this week on Tuesday, they did the same thing, the same tactic with this guy, Scott Perry, who's a Republican from Pennsylvania. And so they looked into this because it's unclear how this connects with the other guys. But apparently there was something going on there with respect to, remember, they were going to have the slate of pro-Trump fake electors in Pennsylvania. Right. So apparently he may have been involved in, they theorize that he may have been involved in coordinating that with Eastman and with Jeffrey Clark. So if I was an investigative, agent or a lawyer right now, this would be the salad days, right? I mean, it's the gift that keeps on giving. There's bound to be another investigation about something soon.
You got to go to Kinko's to get your subpoenas printed down. It's like, I need about 800 of these.
I need like a ream of subpoenas, please.
Well, and the excuses are constantly changing. I mean, the day the FBI came and got those documents at Mar-a-Lago, first of all, it wasn't a raid. It was like they came and they knocked on the door and the Secret Service walked them around. And Trump's lawyer was with it. It wasn't like they came in with guns blazing and ripped open the sofa cushions and
oh, but that's what I wanted it to be like.
Oh, yeah. like they do to, like, you know, brown people.
Yeah, right. But, oh, let's not go there.
But then, you know, then they were saying, well, why didn't they subpoena them? And it turns out they did send them a subpoena.
Yeah, of course.
And you know, remember a few months ago, they did get some boxes. They got like 10 boxes.
Yeah, they didn't get what they were supposed
to. But, you know, you think of what they were doing is what the Trump people, they were trying to like say, oh, here's the stuff, and then hope they'd go away.
It's a year and a half. Yeah, well, that's running out the clock. That's what the Republicans love to do.
Well, I mean, but also it's kind of like a, you know, well, here they'll think they got everything and then they'll leave us alone. And it's like, well, wait a minute. You kept the good stuff, you know, in the back in the closet.
The saleable stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
So. Yeah. Well, Colbert on one of his shows this week. It's funny. I anticipated his joke before he even said it, because he was saying, you know, the National Archives was the group that sent out the alert on this that there was stuff missing. And I and companion and I were watching it, and I said, "Oh, the librarians are coming after him." And that was Colbert's joke too, because you know we love the librarians.
We've been saying that for years. Yeah, don't mess with the librarians. You know,
the thing is, they sneak up on you because they're always very quiet. You know what I mean?
And so that was
it. It's like, we know there's a bunch missing.
Yeah, that's like when I say they gave him the 10 boxes of probably more innocuous stuff, and then the librarian said, "Well, how about these other 15 boxes?" Yeah. It's like, "Oh, we didn't think you'd look." And part of it is, you know, the Trump people are like kind of lazy and not really good at this kind of stuff, because they're used to just sort of sloughing through things. And and they didn't like think anybody would like have a record of, you know, what was.
Well, they always base their assumptions about others on their own behavior.
I know, exactly.
Well, we're dumb, so they must be dumb, too.
We're dumb and crooked. That's what I would do.
Oh, Lord.
It's pretty amazing. I mean, if you take a step back and it's like, oh my God, this is like.
I feel bad for Nixon, you know. I mean, I always thought Nixon was our crookedest president.
Yeah.
He's make this grab for power.
It's like a distance.
Yeah,
now.
I mean, like, oh my Lord.
It's
not even
close.
Yeah, he had some flunkies that did something that he covered up. They covered up, you know, and he's like, wow, that's it.
He had some other stuff. He had the enemies list.
The enemies list.
He used the IRS and stuff.
Yeah, he did see some.
But I mean,
stuff,
it's not.
But
it's
the
not,
big. But it was like
he didn't sell secrets to the other governments.
No, he just secretly bombed other countries.
I mean,
there was that.
Not saying he wasn't a corrupt president.
No. But I just feel like it's like his star is being eclipsed.
I know.
I just feel bad about.
Well, it's people our generation. It's like when some sports record is broken, like Babe Ruth's home run record or something.
wait, how old are you?
We're not that old.
Yeah, I was going to say, what's the deal here? Are you keeping something from me?
No, I was just reading about, every once in a while I read about when Roger Maris broke Babe Ruth's home run record in 1961. It was, people didn't like it because Roger Maris was kind of a nobody and Babe Ruth was Babe Ruth. It's like, so they had all these kind of like, these contortions to say it didn't count because it was a longer season and things like that. So they wanted to put an asterisk next to his record. So it's kind of like that with Nixon. We don't want anybody to be more crooked than Nixon.
Yeah, that would just, sets everything upside down. That's not right.
I saw somebody.
He's stupid, Nixon, is the problem with Trump. He's like, Nixon was smart and evil. This is dumb and evil.
Somebody found pulled a quote from, remember Spy magazine?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, back in like the late 80s, I guess.
Yeah.
And they hated Trump. It was like a real New York-centric magazine.
Yeah.
And they just despised Trump. And they had some quote in there where Trump was talking about nuclear negotiations. And he said, well, I could probably learn all I need to know in about an hour and a half. I know most of it anyway already.
Yeah. So in 2016, Companion for my birthday got me a copy it was a compendium of all the Doonesbury cartoons that made fun of Trump, because, Gary Trudeau really didn't like Trump.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, ha ha. I still remember that campaign season. A bunch of my friends, we all got together for a big dinner. I can't remember how many were there, 8 or 9 of us. And we all picked a different Republican to be that we would follow during the primaries. Because remember, there was like 87 Republicans running for president.
Yeah.
And so I picked Rand Paul, only because being, living in Kentucky, I thought, well, that seems like the natural choice. None of us, not one of us, picked Trump. We thought Trump was just doing this as, kind of a lark in a way to get his name out there. Something else he was going to put his brand on.
Yeah.
Not one of us even began to imagine of what would happen. So could happen again. Just want to let you know. Meanwhile, down in North Carolina, one county is reopening their schools later this month, and they're going to have new security measures there. And you might think, new security would mean... I don't know, maybe shutting down the access to weapons in the school. But instead, they're going to be stocking AR-15 rifles. for school, quote, resource officers. This was the sheriff in this county. It's Madison County, and the sheriff, Buddy Harwood,
buddy,
your buddy, buddy, he's decided that we have to replace one semi-automatic rifle in each of the county's six schools, and each of the guns will be locked inside a safe. And so apparently, the sheriff and the school district in this county, Madison County, are collaborating to have this the guns in there. And of course, the problem with this is, if you look at what happened, you know, the inspiration for this measure is what happened, in Uvalde, where 19 children and two teachers were dead. I seem to recall that there were actually armed people that could have done something about that. And they stood out in the hallway and waited a while just to see what might transpire. So unclear how this is going to work. But apparently the sheriff there says that's how we're going to do it. Schools, by the way, open in Madison County on August 22nd. So keep your eye on the news.
They had to sell all their books and computers to pay for the guns. But
right. Hey, here in Madison, I don't know if you saw that, you know, after years of whooping the tar out of the teachers and the teachers' unions, they're short 141 teachers in Madison Metropolitan School
District.
It's
pretty much universal now. You know, that's one thing that happens when you kind of make teachers the enemy and you make public education an enemy.
Well, it's all working to plan because, of course, they'll just privatize it, right?
Yeah. So Betsy DeVille is still hanging on there.
How many puppies did you say you had?
I need a new coat. So they had one of those CPAC meetings.
Oh, yeah.
They have them a lot now. I think
they had their last one in Nuremberg, I heard.
They had that guy.
It was quite a rally.
They had that guy from Hungary the other
day. Yes.
And they gave him a standing
ovation. President Orban, yes.
They gave him a standing ovation.
Yeah. He wants your genitals to dictate your destiny. What more do you need to know?
Oh, we love him.
Yeah. That's all we care about.
But they actually had a banner or a light sign or something behind the stage. I don't know if it was there the whole time or just part of the time, but it said, we are all domestic terrorists.
Wow. Well, that's laying on the line.
Yeah, it's like, at least they're being honest about it for a change. But
Well, I guess in a sense, though, you could say that we've reached a level of degeneration in this conversation, political conversation that our nation is having, that you can be open without anybody feeling ashamed or...
Right.
You know, I mean, you know, hypocrisy is the price that vice pays to virtue. Well, when there's no virtue, then... Say whatever's on your mind.
And, you know, it used to be when you were, you know, like running for public office, if you had some odd little gaffe, it would destroy your career. I mean, you know, if you yelled really loud, or if you couldn't spell potato, or if you had your girlfriend sitting on your lap or something.
Yeah, yes.
Now you can say I'm a terrorist,
and
you know, your poll numbers go up.
Right. You had admired goats a little too much.
So in 2018, after calling for Hillary Clinton to be jailed, Trump signed a law that stiffened the penalty for the unauthorized removal and retention of classified documents. It changed it from a one-year penalty to 5 years, turning it into a felony.
Yeah, he's too pretty to go to jail.
So. Who signed that stupid law?
I want names.
I want him now.
He probably doesn't read anything he signs.
I don't think so.
You know, that was when I was living in Martin County, Kentucky. There was a county executive that got hauled off to prison for, what was it? Influence peddling. And no one bats an eye down there. But I do remember his defense was interesting. His defense was, well, I don't know how to read or write, and so I just sign whatever anybody puts in front of me. And Judge Kirk, that was his name, yeah. And good old Judge Kirk. And it was kind of like, okay, well, I guess.
Hard to argue with that.
Yeah, I kind of think that might be what happened with Trump on that one, you know. Handlers, tell me, what is this?
Oh, nothing. Well, I mean, seriously, I mean, you know, that's how we ended up with the Supreme Court we have. I mean, the Federalist Society just said, here's a list.
Yeah. And, I got to point out, though, that, you know, Alito was appointed by Bush. So, you know, don't think that.
No, I'm just saying. I mean, saying
no, I'm not saying it, you personally, but I mean, people out there, don't think it's all about Trump.
No.
I mean, this has been building for a while.
And that's
now.
What I mean with the Federalist Society. Yeah. It wasn't Trump. I mean, he doesn't care. I mean, he doesn't know. You know, but
where's my rubber stamp?
Do you see the story that the supposed investigation into Kavanaugh, the FBI, when they were, you know, before the confirmation, they were just.
You mean the sex criminal?
There was a tip line going to the FBI, and they sent all that information to the White House. They didn't do the investigation. They just had the White House kind of sign off.
No wonder he hates the FBI. Think about this.
They used to love the FBI.
We have two Supreme Court justices that have credible sexual harassment or sexual assault accusations against.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like, deciding what a woman does with her uterus. Yeah. So great. Yeah, I guess that's their brand, you know. Get to decide.
Hey, you're listening to the Mel and Floyd Show here on WORT 89.9 on the FM. You might be listening on the internet at WORTFM.org. You could be listening in the future because we put this show and all of our shows up on the archives page, and you can listen whenever you want. And also, thanks to Mindless Minion D-Cubed, you could podcast this through Spotify or iTunes or wherever you get your pods. I only get organically grown pods myself.
I have one that's right by my bed. Yeah. Human sized. I'm a little suspicious.
All right, we're going to take a break, play some announcements, and come back with... Do Spiders Dream. And I have drop boxes for babies.
Oh, no.
And Is Your Meat Woke?
So I you may have seen that the price of gas has gone down considerably. It's now under $4. And I seem to remember just a few weeks ago that if you watched any of the Ron Johnson ads or any of the talking points from Republicans, that they're all blaming Biden for the gas prices.
He did that. He made it.
So now that they're going down, I wonder if they're – I'm sure they're going to start running commercials thanking him for the reduction in gas prices.
Oh,
I'm going to be waiting for that.
Be complaining about gas prices being too low and hurting the economy.
The president did sign on Tuesday into law a $280 billion bill aimed at bolstering the American chip manufacturing industry. And this is to address a problem that has arisen of late, and I could have predicted this 10 years ago, but the problem is the global supply chain. And, of course, most of the chips that we have in the United States we get from China, which is turning out to be a big economic competitor of ours.
I like the nacho cheese ones.
Those are nacho cheese. Yeah, those are pretty good. Chinese don't really specialize in that. Hey, the Treasury Department on Monday prohibited Americans from using the cryptocurrency platform Tornado Cash, saying that the service has helped criminals launder more than $7 billion of virtual currency. Meanwhile,
that's the whole point of that stuff.
In a related story, South Korea has a new cryptocurrency, and it collapsed. Their failures led to $300 billion loss across the crypto economy.
Oh, my God.
And I was trying to think of if I have my own cryptocurrency. I was thinking snake oil or bulb.
Yeah,
I think bulb would be
bulb
a good,
would be good.
A perfect name for it. But this time it's different because it's electronic.
Yeah.
You know, it's nothing like any other bubbles or fake currencies in the past.
3D triangle.
Yeah,
or
right.
Something.
It's all different now.
Yeah, so. Yeah, Safe Technology Advocacy Group said on Tuesday that Tesla's full self-driving software has a little problem.
Okay.
It doesn't detect children, pedestrians.
Oh, well.
Or small people.
We do have a population problem, after all.
But, you know, Elon Musk doesn't like children very much either, so he doesn't like...
Well, he does when they're properly prepared.
Well, he doesn't really acknowledge his own, so. They did a safety test of the latest version, and it repeatedly hit a stationary child-sized mannequin in his path.
That's what they said it was.
Yeah. Oh, we got plenty of kids now, don't we?
Yeah. It's amazing that we have this ability. We can't even begin to fathom how it is human beings can make the discriminating judgments that they can about lots of ordinary things. That's the hardest thing. You can play a chess game, but you can't figure out what's on the other side of the room. You know, it's hard to get an inanimate object to do that for some reason. So I said we'd talk about spiders, and this is an amazing little story. And there's a lot of dispute about this, but. There's an entomologist, a person by the name of Barrett Klein at the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse, who has said that it's very exciting. It looks as if there may be REM, rapid eye movement-like signs, in spiders. And so rapid eye movement is hard with a spider because most of them, you know, there's a lot of eyes, first of all, but they don't have, like, eyelids. But there are certain kinds of jumping and hunting spiders that do have their retinas move around. And so they've been watching spiders. This study originally is coming out of the University of Konstanz in Germany. And Daniela Rüssler is the name of the person who's done the original research. And she says when you watch these spiders, they basically do kind of like your dog does. There's a period of time where they're not actively doing anything, but they move their legs around, you know, like your dog's like chasing something in its dreams.
Yeah.
And that their eyes flicker around just like rapid eye movements. And people don't really understand what sleep is all about, or rapid eye movement sleep is especially problematic. According to, again, to Barrett Klein, it's very much a black box, he says. And so the idea of what is it for is part of the problem. And so that you're not sure how widely spread it might be among animate creatures. So there are some other animals, of course, birds and mammals that do experience REM sleep. And the funniest is to watch pigs sleep. I love it. You see a dog in its sleep, and you can see it's acting out slightly. It's dream state. But pigs can get quite into it.
Really?
They're running and doing all sorts of things in their sleep. So if you have pigs at home, you know what I'm talking about. The findings of this study were published on Monday of this week in the journal Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences.
Nice.
So it may be that even spiders are having REM sleep.
Hmm. Do spiders dream of eight-legged sheep?
I think they're probably sucking blood. Yummy! Flies all the way down.
Do their eight legs all kind of kick?
Yeah, they're little. They do little jerky movements like they're doing something.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that funny?
That would be weird. Nightmare.
So. Nightmare spider. Yeah. This big shoe coming after it.
There's a company called Lions, Not Sheep, that sells a series of T-shirts and other apparel with pro-Trump and right-wing messages.
And if anybody, I love the projection. If anybody's sheep, it's the people that are following that death cult. Like, what is this?
People who are buying their products.
Yeah, right.
But they agreed to pay a $200,000 fine to the FTC after it was busted for removing the Made in China tags on their apparel and replacing them with, and replacing them with ones that said Made in the USA.
Well, that's good. So there is still some shame. Okay.
Well, not shame.
Yeah.
They got caught.
Yeah. Wow. So stories from the dying planet. I just this week was reported that the warming of the Arctic is occurring even faster than previously described. Mm. So this was announced yesterday. There are researchers in Finland, they would know, and they've been following this warming trend for the last four decades up there in Finland. And they found that some parts of the area where they were studying, notably the Barents Sea, which is just north of Norway and Russia, are warming seven times faster than they thought it was. And so one result of this, of course, is the faster melting of the Arctic ice sheet, which leads, of course, to sea level rise. But it goes far beyond the Arctic, including, of course, Europe itself, which is having, again, there's an area in the southwestern France now, which is basically on fire. And the temperatures in England are supposed to be 104 again.
Oh, really?
Coming up this week,
wow.
Yeah. So yeah, pretty bad stuff. With a couple of stories I saw this week related where we're talking about how, you know, who cares if the Earth is dying? It turns out that some of the issues that are actually starting to impact other things, outdoor things. And so I saw a story this week talking about difficulties in having outdoor events of various kinds, like shows that are outside and outdoor venues, plays, musical concerts, and so on. When it's so hot out, people want to be inside, obviously, in artificially conditioned air. And the big thing, now, did you know that cricket is the second most popular sport in the world?
I guess so.
Those Brits have a lot to answer for, yeah. But especially in South Asia,
yeah,
and of course in the Caribbean, which produces some amazing, by the way, amazing cricketers.
Right behind cornholing, right?
Yeah, exactly. But it turns out that these cricket matches will go on for like 5 days,
right.
And in some of the matches they'll be like 7 hours long, and if you're in conditions, for example, if you're in Trinidad and Tobago, or you're in Pakistan or something, I mean, you can't hang on for that long. It's a grueling sport, and so it's starting to interfere basically with some of the cricket matches because the players are having a hard time basically sustaining the play because of the intensity of heat in these various areas.
Now I. This sounds like a parody, but I've seen it in several places, so I think it's a real story. Abortion opponents are promoting drop boxes for unwanted babies, enabling mothers to surrender their newborns for adoption in the wake of the Roe v. Wade decision.
Yep.
Resembling drop-off bins used by libraries for returning books, the baby boxes are part of the Safe Haven movement, which aims to promote adoption as an alternative to abortion.
Yeah, in the Middle Ages, those were called convents. I just want to remind everybody of that.
They can be found at fire stations and hospitals where staff have been trained to handle babies who have been abandoned.
But don't accidentally drop a ballot in there, for God's sakes, because somebody with an AR whatever will show up and with his horned helmet and yell at you.
The parent surrendering a baby pulls open a metal bin containing a temperature-controlled bassinet.
No. This is made up, surely.
Once shut, the baby box is locked and an alarm triggered to alert the staff.
Yeah.
And it was in the New York Times. On average spend less than 2 minutes in the drop box before being rescued. Now, what I think they really should have is some of like those pneumatic tubes like they have at the banks.
Yeah.
And you just put the kid in the tube and then you don't have to even mess around with the drop box.
I learned long ago from Bugs Bunny cartoons that when somebody puts a baby in a basket on your doorstep, do not take that basket. It's usually a miniature gangster.
With a cigar.
With a cigar.
And he needs a shave.
Needs a shave. Yeah. So I just want to say, just be careful about this.
Yeah. So I don't know. I still am not convinced that's a real story, but I've seen it in a couple places.
Yeah.
So,
Wow.
Cracker Barrel is going to add some impossible plant-based sausage to their menu.
Oh, yeah.
You know, which a lot of places are doing now. And some people are pig-biting mad
over
it.
They're groomers. Those groomers want us to have no meat.
I don't know why they're mad, but people are just upset that Cracker Barrel is just, I just lost respect for a once great Tennessee company, one person commented.
Yeah, yeah.
Not going to happen. Cracker Barrel used to be so good. We looked forward to eating in them.
Bet you did.
In a barrel. Yeah, right. But not anymore.
Yeah.
And a lot of people decried the woke addition to the menu.
It's not ideologically safe anymore to eat a Cracker Barrel. The world is intruding.
There is an option on the menu that I don't approve of.
Yeah.
You know, like I hate beets with the heat of, you know, the white hot heat of a thousand suns.
Yeah.
And I don't care if it's on the menu if I go somewhere. Just don't order it.
I don't think I've ever told you my Cracker Barrel story.
Okay.
So we were down, companion and I were down in Lexington, Kentucky. I was showing him around, you know, my old stomping grounds when I went to the university down there when I was an undergraduate. And we were looking for some place to eat, and there was a Cracker Barrel. And I just thought, as a hoot, let's go to Cracker Barrel.
Yeah.
So we go to Cracker Barrel,
fine.
And, you know, fine, whatever. And so I'm there. And so it had to happen, right? There's these two gentlemen of a certain age that are, you know, dining together. And so this waitress says, where are y'all from? And I say, oh, well, we live in Wisconsin. I was like, okay. So she comes back, and she's very chatty with us. And she said, So y'all live in Wisconsin? We're like, yeah. And she's like, would you take me with you? And it's kind of like, is there something more you need to tell us, darling? You know, like, what's going on exactly? I don't know what it was, but there was something about living in Lexington, Kentucky and working at Cracker Barrel that was constraining her, I think. I just feel like, you know.
The Fugitive Cracker Barrel Employees Act.
Exactly.
There's a whole underground railroad.
It's underground railroad.
To get Cracker Barrel employees.
Could you
up
please
north.
Take me to the promised land? Because I can't quite make it down
here.
She's
in for a shock if she comes to Wisconsin. We're just Cracker Barrel North here.
Yeah, I know. That's a stunning evolution, isn't it? But I still have faith that just like in just like in Ohio right now that. A lot of what's crazy about what's happening in Wisconsin is that a lot years of careful institutional perversion going on in the background has made it seem more right wing than it is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that's what's going on.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
I mean, people are like, oh, you're a purple state. Well, not when we vote at the state level. You know? It's like, notice when you can't subdivide the electorate in various, you know, charlatan-like ways, you do get different outputs. But we'll see. We'll see. We still have an election coming up here.
In Pewaukee, a flatbed truck spilled at least 7 portable toilets early Tuesday morning on I-94.
Mm. Used or unused?
They were empty.
Oh, thank goodness.
So, 4 cars were damaged, but no one was injured. The DOT got the video, and it showed the truck driving past with the porta-potty sliding off upright into the westbound lanes of I-94 at the Pewaukee Road exit. Well, it is Pewaukee.
And there were probably about 500 phones that were all taking video of that.
One of the drivers said, I see a porta potty flying back at me.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Quick, record it.
I was so shook. I was beyond shook. It was like, is that a porta potty? And where did it come from?
Drop from the sky. A very important person to me died this week.
Yeah.
And you're going to like, who is this person? Lamont Dozier. And you're like, who is Lamont Dozier? He was one third of a very, very famous songwriting team, Holland Dozier Holland. The two Hollands were brothers.
Sure.
that, of course, wrote for Motown back in the 60s. And my mother loved Motown. And when I was growing up, I was exposed to it constantly. And so all of these, I mean, hear them. I was reading some of the you know, the titles, including Where Did Our Love Go? And, you know, You Can't Hurry Love, Baby Love, all those. All I have to do here is hear the title and the song starts going in my head.
Yeah.
So I was reading his obituary and I was amused by, apparently this was, I guess it's a real story. Stop in the Name of Love. Apparently he said that to somebody. So he was in a hotel with his second girlfriend when the first girlfriend knocked on the door and was going to come in. And apparently, being a lyricist, he came out with a very interesting way of saying it. Stop in the name of love. And he thought, that'd be a great lyric.
She hit him over the head with a frying pan.
Exactly. He was 81. He was living in Scottsdale. He'd been retired, of course, for many years. But they had a string of number one hits, and of course, mostly for the Supremes. But they also wrote for Martha and the Vandellas and some others. And so it was just, they were a hit factory. So he was basically, one of the Holland brothers was the lyricist, and the other one was more the instrumentalist. Mm. And he was kind of in the middle. He was kind of mediated between the two and did a little bit on each side. So he did write a memoir a few years back about his experiences and so on. He had a quite interesting life. Marvin Gaye, he also wrote some stuff for him. How Sweet It Is to Be Loved by You. I mean, that was going through my head right now. But one of the things that I thought was a nice little touch, his name was Lamont, and he was actually named for someone whom you would know, a fictional character by the name of The Shadow.
Lamont,
you remember
Cranston.
Lamont Cranston, the lead character in the radio serial The Shadow. And he was born in 1941, and his mother, Ethel Jeanette Waters Dozier, she thought that would be a great name, so she named him after The Shadow. So Lamont Dozier, 81 years old.
Won't you stop, baby, baby? I'm aware of where you go. Each time you leave the door, I'm watching you walk down the street, knowing your other love is me. This time before you run to her, leaving me alone and her. Haven't I been good to you? After I've been sweet to you. Stop in the name of love before you break my heart. Stop in the name of love before you break my heart.
Do you know what I love about the Supremes? The evening gloves. those elbow-high gloves. So I was reading about the Supremes. I think it must have been 66 Revolver. That was the number one album that year.
Okay.
Until the Supremes released their album that year, and it got knocked to number two.
It's hard
to remember what a potent force they were in music in the 1960s, but they really were. My mother, so we were living in Columbus at that point, and my mother used to listen to all the crazy Detroit groups, the Detroit Emeralds. That was one of her favorites. She would get their records, and side A was the song, and side B was the party version where everybody screaming and carrying on. It was all instrumental, and the background was like, yeah, man, and they'd be doing stuff.
I like that.
Yeah, my mother was a big influence on me with that.
Here's just a headline that tells the story. Man trying to burn spider with lighter sparked Utah wildfire.
Oh, Jesus.
So about a week ago or so, Olivia Newton-John died. And I wasn't a huge fan, but she seemed always kind of cool. I mean, yeah. You know, but here's a little story from my home state of Minnesota. Olivia Newton-John was the guest of honor at Olivia, Minnesota, celebrating its 100th birthday. They invited her as a lark.
Yeah.
And she thought, well, that would be fun. And so she paid her way there and showed up for, like, you know, I'm sure it was a little parade or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Her only appearance fee was some fresh bread and 24 ears of corn. Isn't that a sweet story?
That's wonderful.
I found out not too long ago that Winona Ryder is actually named after Winona, Minnesota.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So okay. I think her parents were, I don't know if they were from around there and went to school there or something, but they thought it was kind of a nice name, and so they decided to name her that.
Wow.
And,
very cool.
So, Minnesota trivia.
Scientists have discovered ancient human footprints in Utah. Those are retirees that live out there. No, from 12,000 years ago. Apparently it was some adults and children. They were walking barefoot along a shallow riverbed. And they sort of found this by accident. They're at the Utah Test and Training Range, which is a big, it's like a million acres site where the U.S. Armed Forces test experimental aircraft, including flying saucers, by the way. And so they were looking around, and they just found these human and animal tracks, and they're along this dried up riverbed. So they went to this dig site, and they were looking around, and they're like, "Well, look at that!" And they found 88 footprints in all, and they're in little short tracks. Some of them seem to be people just maybe congregating in the area. Others were sort of walking along and so on. They found fossil tracks, of course, in other areas out in the Southwest. There's fossil tracks in New Mexico as old as 23,000 years. That's New Mexico, USA, in case you're wondering. I love that on the license plates. No, it's in the United States, okay? But discovery of this additional set of tracks suggests that there are other sites around the U.S. where more tracks could be found. According to one of the discoverers, a guy by the name of, what is his name? Somebody Urban, Tommy Urban. He says the Western U.S. has many similar settings that could have footprint sites.
Hmm.
So they're looking around for more.
The daughter of a wealthy Brazilian art collector used fake fortune tellers to convince her mother that family heirloom paintings were possessed and needed to be removed from the home as part of an elaborate scheme to swindle the family estate.
Mm. Nightmare Alley. Yeah. That reminds me of the thing you sent me, the School of Demonology there. That was very good.
It was like sexually transmitted demons.
Yeah. Well, really, if you think about it, that's what original sin is, right? You basically... It's like the very act of conceiving another child means sin is carried on for another generation. So
you're a demon. If you have a demon child now, if you're like pregnant with one, you have to carry it to term.
Oh yeah, really exactly. Wrong. That's so, the rule.
Poor Rosemary's baby. Now. It's like, so, all right, we got to get out of here. The kiosk is next. After that, who cooks for you at the Real Jaguar? I saw him come in here not too long ago.
Yeah.
Amy Goodman, Democracy Now!, Labor Radio. Blues Cruise, Friday on My Mind, all kinds of great stuff here on your favorite radio station. Pants, it's so good to see you. And like I said, it's been about a month here. So
we're
both wearing our black t-shirts.
Yeah, what's with that? It's nice when we coordinate. Black is so slimming.
Works on the radio anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, time to declare. The weekend. Enjoy the weekend.
It's going to be nice.
Is it?
Yeah. I'm not going to be higher than 80, so it's going to be relatively... not going to rain, and it's going to be relatively
right,
nice.
Get out and enjoy Madison Land.
Yep.
So, but
Madison Land TM.
It's 2:00. You're listening to WRT 89.9 FM. Have a great week, everybody. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk at you next Friday. Bye-bye.